What if the Napoleonic Wars weren't just fought on land and sea, but in the skies as well? Imagine Britain's naval supremacy challenged not only by French ships, but by intelligent dragons capable of devastating aerial attacks. This is the captivating premise of His Majesty's Dragon, where respected naval captain Will Lawrence's life is forever altered when his ship captures a rare dragon egg from a French vessel. When the egg unexpectedly hatches, the intelligent dragonette, whom Lawrence names Temeraire, forms an immediate bond with him. By dragon-handling tradition and British law, this connection cannot be broken, forcing Lawrence to abandon his promising naval career and join the socially ostracized aerial corps. What begins as an unwelcome duty transforms into a profound partnership that challenges everything Lawrence thought he knew about duty, society, and the nature of intelligence itself. The relationship between Lawrence and Temeraire flourishes from their first meeting. Initially reluctant, Lawrence grows attached to the intelligent dragonette who hungers for knowledge as much as food. Aboard the Reliant, Temeraire showcases exceptional abilities, speed rivaling courier dragons, extraordinary eyesight, and an intellect that impresses the officers. When Lawrence attempts to transfer Temeraire to a trained aviator, the dragon firmly refuses. "I do not want another captain." This moment cements their partnership and thrusts Lawrence into Britain's aerial forces. At Scotland's Loch Laggan training covert, Lawrence enters a world unlike his naval experience. The aerial corps operates with shocking informality. Officers use surnames without rank, women captain larger dragons, and practicality overrides social norms. The aviators treat Lawrence with hostility, especially Lieutenant Granby, who was meant to caption Temeraire. When Lawrence confronts Granby about his disrespect, he establishes boundaries while dreading backlash. This confrontation becomes a turning point, as Granby's grudging respect builds foundation for their future partnership. The novel brilliantly portrays Temeraire as a fully realized character with his own developmental arc. Far from being merely Lawrence's mount, he emerges as an intellectual force whose curiosity drives much of the story. His journey from newly hatched dragonette to sophisticated thinker challenges both characters and readers to reconsider assumptions about intelligence and consciousness. Temeraire's education progresses rapidly from language acquisition, hatching with French but quickly mastering English, to literature, mathematics, and philosophy. When introduced to Newton's Principia Mathematica, he not only comprehends the complex concepts, but applies them to flying, developing an intuitive understanding that informs innovative battle maneuvers. His questions often challenge human assumptions. "Why should it signify so much whether one has a title or not?" he asks, perplexed by seemingly arbitrary social hierarchies. Through Temeraire's perspective, familiar human customs become strange. Whether puzzling over property ownership, questioning gender roles in military service, or contemplating loyalty, his observations challenge established norms. His distress upon witnessing an execution and hearing the condemned man's dragon's anguish forces both Lawrence and readers to confront the ethics of binding intelligent creatures to human conflicts. Novik's aerial combat merges historical naval tactics with dragons' unique abilities, creating a compelling warfare form. Training sequences showcase dragons coordinating while carrying crews of up to 30 members who handle weapons, communicate, and navigate difficult conditions. Each breed offers tactical advantages. Acid-spitting longwings lead with chemical attacks, massive regal coppers provide power, lightweight yellow reapers excel at maneuvers, and midweight Parnassians offer versatility. Lawrence and Temeraire demonstrate complementary strengths. Temeraire brings intuitive understanding of aerial movement and wind patterns, while Lawrence applies tactical knowledge from his naval experience. Their innovative flight table, with dragon figures suspended by threads to simulate three-dimensional formations, becomes widely adopted throughout the Corps. The climactic battle, when Napoleon attempts to invade England using dragons to transport vessels across the Channel, showcases dragon combat in full spectacle. The battle integrates multiple action layers, from individual duels to formation tactics. Readers experience the cold wind cutting through leather flying gear, hear Temeraire's divine wind roar, and feel the tension of mid-air boarding actions with only thin leather straps preventing thousand-foot falls. Throughout the novel, Novik explores how the aerial corps exists both within and outside conventional British society. Aviators face social ostracism, considered necessary but distasteful, their association with dragons marking them as somehow lesser. Yet this marginalization creates space for unconventional freedoms impossible elsewhere in Regency society. The most striking example is female captains, necessitated by dragon breeds like Longwings, who only accept women handlers. Captain Jane Rowland embodies this paradoxical freedom, a scarred veteran with a Nile medal who speaks frankly about having an illegitimate daughter, specifically to inherit her dragon's captaincy. Her matter-of-fact attitude toward sexuality contrasts sharply with Lawrence's familiar rigid propriety. Lawrence's relationship with these social constraints forms a key aspect of his development. His initial shock gradually yields to appreciation for their practicality. When he later proposes to his former love interest, her rejection based on an aviator's social isolation no longer devastates him. His priorities have fundamentally changed. As the story unfolds, questions arise about Temeraire's true breed. Though initially classified as an imperial dragon, his black coloration with blue markings, 5 talons, and exceptional intelligence hint at something more remarkable. A French trader reveals Napoleon specifically targeted Temeraire's egg, not just any dragon would do. The breakthrough comes when Britain's foremost expert on Oriental dragons identifies Temeraire as a celestial dragon, an extremely rare breed reserved exclusively for Chinese emperors or their closest family. In Chinese culture, these dragons are revered as divine beings, prized for their intelligence and unique abilities. The egg had been intended as a diplomatic gift for Bonaparte following his coronation. This revelation illuminates multiple plot elements. Temeraire's extraordinary capabilities, particularly his devastating divine wind sonic attack that proves decisive in battle, his exceptional value in both political and military spheres, and the reason behind Napoleon's persistent pursuit. It also establishes future diplomatic complications with China. At its heart, this story celebrates friendship transcending boundaries between species, social classes, and worldviews. The central relationship evolves from reluctant duty to profound attachment, challenging both characters' preconceptions and transforming their identities. Lawrence's transformation involves reconsidering beliefs about propriety and social hierarchy. His naval background makes the Corps' informality seem shocking, yet as he bonds with Temeraire, he begins valuing substance over form, genuine care over rigid protocol. For Temeraire, the friendship opens a world of knowledge. His curiosity finds outlet through Lawrence's education, while his intelligence brings fresh perspective to human customs. When questioning social hierarchies or expressing concern about Lawrence potentially marrying, he reveals how deeply he values their bond. In the novel's final scene, after learning of complications from Temeraire's heritage, Lawrence chooses to sleep beside his dragon rather than returning to his hotel. Finding comfort in Temeraire's heartbeat, so very much like the endless sound of the sea, he bridges his naval past and aviator present. Their mutual declaration of loyalty affirms the novel's central theme: genuine connection transcends all artificial boundaries.